Mark chapter 5, and then 2 Timothy, we're going to turn to chapter 1. Read one verse in Mark 5. Mark chapter 5, and I'll read verse 15. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had a legion sitting clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. This is the maniac of Gadara. He was the one who lived in the tombs and attacked everybody. And it says when they came back to see what was going on and what the big ruckus was, the people from town, it says they saw this. So they came back, and it says they came to Jesus and saw him that was possessed of the devil, but now he's different, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. But Jesus will change your clothing too. This guy ran around naked, and when he's in the tombs, Jesus changed that. He changed everything about you. You're a new person, if any man be in Christ. He changed him. And then, but he's sitting there, and he was in his right mind again. He was in his right mind. He was insane before. He was possessed of demons, and he was insane. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We saw Jesus fix somebody's mind who was absolutely insane. He fixed their mind. It was because of demons in this situation. We'll talk about that in a second. 1 Timothy chapter 1. It says, Paul, verse 1, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of eternal life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience. Without ceasing I have made remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting out of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. To stir up that gift that is in, and the gift that is in you is the Holy Spirit, according to Romans 8, 9. To stir up the gift that is in thee, and he says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. You know how many people live in fear nowadays? And it's across a spectrum of our culture. It's from a strange person who is just afraid of people, afraid of everything, to a weird person who's afraid of black helicopters coming and getting them. And everything in between. We live in a society that lives in fear. Fear of terrorism, fear of financial disaster, fear of many things. But God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. That's two things you should have, power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and of love. And love is of God. He that knows God loves God, but of a sound mind. The word sound is the word we use when you say something's solid. We say that building's very sound. It's very solid. It's very complete. It's very well built. The Bible says God has given us the spirit of a sound mind, a fixed mind, a controlled mind, a mind that is fixed. That's Bible. God can fix minds. God can fix problems in your mind. God can fix emotional and mental problems. Verse 8, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. He says, by the way, afflictions are coming, but it has nothing to do with your sound mind. Let me just say, what kind of mental condition you're in doesn't have to do with what your situation is. It's totally based on the things we'll talk about. It's not based on conditions. There are some people who've been in awfully bad conditions. Paul himself here talking from jail, scars all over his back, and yet he says, hey, I'm rejoicing in the Lord always. It has nothing to do with your circumstances, but he's given us a power and of love and a sound mind. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll talk about having a sound mind. Let's pray. Father, may the Spirit of God speak to us today, Lord. You've given us that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the teacher, the guide, the comforter. And Father, we know that in the flesh we can do nothing. We know without you we can do nothing. But Lord, we come to you depending upon you for the power of the Holy Spirit, for you to speak through me, Father. I hope nobody came here today to hear me and my ability to speak, Lord, because they'll be sadly disappointed and their life will never be changed. But I pray today, Father, that we all came asking and hungry for the Spirit of God to speak the Word of God. I pray now you control my mind. I pray that you control my mouth. I pray that you'd speak the words that need said and bring great conviction and bring great change and bring some minds that are messed up and give them sound minds. Help us, Lord. We need help. We have an attack in our mind. I pray, help us in a great and mighty way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I got a lot to say. I'm gonna try to cut stuff out here. I'm full, totally full of this truth. It's just inside of me. I'm consumed with this truth. Because so many people's minds are messed up, and it grieves me. I hate to see it, because it doesn't have to be that way. I think about this a lot, and I work with it a lot. There's a lot of things on this subject I want to say. I'm going to preach several messages. I'm not going to tell you everything you need to know to have a sound mind today. I'm going to probably preach four or five messages on this, because there's about four or five principles. Every single one of them, if you took any one of the messages and you applied them, your life would be transformed. I guarantee it. It is so life-transforming, and this doesn't get preached. I've never heard it. I've never heard it in Bible college. Never heard it in all the churches I've gone to. But it's in the Bible. Somewhere along the way, unfortunately, preachers got intimidated by psychologists and psychiatrists, which is wrong. Somebody who has the mind of Christ has a 10 times better thought process and has more wisdom by 10 times than a psychiatrist. Just because he has a PhD doesn't mean that he has wisdom. He may have a secular mind. There's a lot of PhDs who believe that we came from an amoeba. They're not too smart. PhD could stand for post-hole digger. We don't know what it means. It doesn't mean they're smart. Just because some 25-year-old kid who got in the ears, he's got a PhD in child psychology, and now he teaches grandma how to raise her kids. I don't think so. He didn't have a kid yet. He didn't know nothing. The Bible has the answers to everything in life. The Bible, God's given us a spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. I think we have a major problem now is our minds, because I believe the number one attack in America that the devil does is on our minds. We have visions and imaginations, and we see things. We have TV and radio, and your mind is bombarded. I heard somebody was telling about a guy who came from China, and he was in the underground church there in China, and under deep persecution, a risk of killing him all the time. And he got to America, and he came and landed, and he was speaking to somebody on Christian TV. I didn't see this. A good friend of mine was watching it. And the guy said, boy, it must be great now to be free to serve God, and now you can do whatever and worship God freely and have the victory. And the Chinese pastor, the national, got very frustrated. And he says, you don't understand. He says, I was in China. I was this close to God. He says, since I got off that airplane in America, I have not had a clear channel to God. He says, you guys are oppressed far more than we are. He said, your minds are oppressed. He says, you got television and radio and your billboards and everything is attacking your mind. He says, you guys don't even know you're not good Christians. He says, you're oppressed. There is an oppression here. I can't even get to God here. I have not felt so far from God ever in China. He says, I'd rather go back there and face the persecution than the attack you guys had. But we're bored of this and we're used to it. We don't realize how under attack our mind is. I went out just to visiting with somebody. And God gives me a special type of ministry. I work with messed up people. That's just my ministry, always. God always sends me to people who got problems. And I love it. I love that. And God's gifted me with that ability. I took someone visiting with me a few months ago, and we sat down at somebody's house, and we're visiting with them, and it's the first time I visited them, and they were messed up. And here comes the dump truck. Just dumped it all. And I'm talking a messed up mind. Severe mental problems, severe depression, bipolar, severe, everything was a mess. And they talked and told and said this and that. And I listened. I interrupted them once or twice, told them, you need to do this right here, fix this. And I just listened to them for a long time. I left, and the person with me was, by the way, the person with me is a pretty good Christian. And they said to me this, they said, they got in the car, and they said, brother, you ever heard anything like that? And I said, I hear it all the time. And they said, you're kidding me. I said, I run across somebody that messed up at least once every 2-3 months. Somebody who had that much they need to unload and are messed up with their mind. They said, you're kidding me. I said, I was depressed. I'd already commit suicide after hearing all that. I said, yeah. I said, it can be pretty rough sometimes. You ever hear somebody, they tell you all the problems, and you just feel like you're falling in the pit with them. Stop! I can't take it! They're going on and telling. I said, but you know what? God's given that ministry, and I can help that person if they'll listen to me. If they're going to listen to a psychologist, a psychiatrist who tells them your only solution is drugs, more Prozac, more Prozac, more Prozac, more Prozac, you'll be fine. And they don't think there's anything they can do, they're going to be a victim of their mental problems, I can't help them. But if I can get them to fight this thing and make a decision, I can fix their mind. I can't, God can, but I can give them some principles in the Bible. I deal with this regularly, mental problems. Regularly. I've taken psychology classes. They didn't help me one lick in helping people's minds, to be honest with you. This book right here, as always, I find out as the answers. And wisdom from learning life's experience and from my own experience. This man in Mark 5 was possessed. I do not think most mental problems people deal with are direct possession. Some of it is. A small percentage that I've dealt with are people who are actually possessed. That's their problem. But it is sometimes. I would say maybe 2-3% maybe at best. There are some, and let me separate for a second here, and this is, let me separate this. Don't make your own separation here. Use my separation, because I'm right. Separation here. There is a small percentage of people who have a physical brain problem. Okay? That is another 2-3%. I mean, their wires are messed up. That's not what I'm talking to today. That is a very small percentage of people. I mean, something got deformed. I mean, their brain has got something wrong, physically wrong. And by the way, the people who have that almost always have other physical problems that go along with it. Something got messed up. Sometimes they fell and got a head injury, or something else. There's a physical brain problem, not a mental problem. A physical trauma. They're born deformed somehow, and the brain doesn't work right. And there's many other things that involve that. But I'm not talking about those two today. About 95%, excluding the possession and the people who have a physical brain problem, the other probably 90 to 95% are people who can get fixed and get their minds fixed. That's what I'm talking about today. I want to help you fix that. I want to help you or somebody you know to fix these things. Let me say, first of all, and I'm going to just build line upon line, I'm going to have one key point today that is the key of the entire thought today. It's not all the lessons, but it's the key for today. It'll change your life. We'll get to that in a while. I'm going to give you some scripture. I'm going to give you a couple points and give you one key thought illustrated. Let me say, number one, there is a war for your mind. There is a war for your mind. I'm going to give you some verses. Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to have a lot of verses, so I'm going to quote some, and I'm going to read you some. I'm going to turn to me to Colossians 1. There's a war for your mind. While you're turning to Colossians, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, roameth about, seeking whom he may devour." You have a devil who's trying to destroy your mind. A devil who's trying to get you to be miserable, to be depressed, to be suicidal, to hate life. And by the way, I wish I could deal with depression today. I don't have time. Let me say I'm going to deal with depression in 1 week, and I'm going to transform. If you'll listen to it, it'll transform your thinking on depression. It'll absolutely transform your thinking on depression. Depression is the most overrated thing in the world. And we'll do that another week. I can't deal with it today, and so if I skip over things. But let me say, God's given you the power of love and a sound mind. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have you reconciled." Your enemies in your mind. The devil takes your mind. He wants you to turn your mind opposite of God. He knows you're made in God's image. He hates you. And he knows if your mind's gone, everything else is gone. And so he's going to try to get you to be miserable. And he's the enemy of your mind. He's going to try to make you be an enemy of God with your mind. When you're an enemy of God, you're suicidal, you hate, you're bitter, you're miserable, you have no joy. That's you have an enemy of your mind. And so you've got to be very careful there. Turn forward or back from Colossians to Ephesians. I'm going to read you the verses there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. "Among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Again, there's your mind going away from God. Chapter 4, verse 17 of Ephesians. "This I say and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." The worldly mind walks differently than the spiritual mind. And the devil is trying to get you to walk in the vanity of your mind. Okay? You have a war for your mind. First Timothy again. Go back where we were. Should have kept you there. There's a war for your mind. I want you to know that. You've got to grasp that. Talk about bad people here and messed up people in verse 3 and 4. In verse 5, talking about things that go on in the wicked man. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness from such, withdraw thyself. In 2 Timothy, in one last verse, chapter 3, verse 8. It says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the truth. Corrupt minds. The devil's going about us roaring like lions, seeking whom may devour. The things that go into your mind and go on in your mind, if you're honest, you say there's some things that go on in here that I don't like going on in here. There are things come in your mind and they want to draw you away. There is a war going on in your mind. There is a battle, and we're going to read more verses on this. There is a battle for your mind. The Bible says, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And the Bible says, in the same chapter, a couple verses later, it says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, when you think of the right things, and you pray about things, which the verse between says, pray about everything, the peace of God will keep your mind. We'll talk about that another week. But your mind will be kept, but you've got to think of the right things. The devil is trying to destroy your mind. God is trying to give you the right kind of sound mind, and there's a war for your mind. You've got to remember that. Things that happen don't happen by accidents. The way you think. Now, this isn't the will of God for your mind. You have a corrupt mind. A destitute one, destitute, all those phrases. Vanity of their minds, corrupt minds. It's not the will of God. God wants you to have a sound mind. God wants you to think right and be happy and have joy and be fixed in your mind. That's the will of God. God's will is you have a sound mind. God wants to fix your mind. Most people's problems are letting the demons and devil warp a good mind. This is so important right here. Most people's problems are letting devils and demons warp a good mind. Let me illustrate this for you for a second. Saul, in the Old Testament, was a very good, solid man. But an evil spirit from the Lord came down and started oppressing Saul's mind. And Saul had already started on a road getting his mind with bitterness. David had slain his tens of thousands. I'm only slain my thousands. And his mind started getting corrupted by evil. And pretty soon, the man who is God's servant, who is pleasing God, and a great king, was sitting there with the spear in his hand, throwing it at David. He must have been a bipolar, this or that. No, he was a man of a very good, solid mind, who was leading the nation, very sound. But the war started happening, and his mind got led to get messed up. Sometimes a good mind, the devil will seize on your weakness, and he'll go and draw on that and twist that up and make you into a very messed up mind, even though it was a good mind before. In other words, many people's minds are messed up. I am not denying that. They've got severe problems. They've got severe depression. They got this. They're excessively compulsive. They got this or that. And I acknowledge they have problems. But the problem is not that they've got a bad mind that can't be fixed except by drugs or by putting in an institution. The problem is that the devil has taken the weakness of their mind and twisted it and corrupted it, although it's still a mind that God made beautiful, for fearfully and wonderfully made are we. Let me illustrate this in my life. I was a very messed up kid emotionally and mentally when I was a kid. Some of you say, I still am. When I was a kid, I was very messed up. I grew up in a very bad home, very abusive home, and drugs and everything else. It was a mess. I grew up very, very messed up mentally. By the time I was 9 or 10 years old, I was a disaster mentally. I was insecure. I was suicidal. I was severely depressed. Now, let me tell you something. I was born a certain way. I'm wired as I'm wired. God made me. There are a few characteristics that I have that are my very nature. Number one, I'm a very intense person. Number two, I'm a loner. Those are both characteristics. That's just what I am. That's what I was born. Number three, I have a very pondering mind. I question, I think very deeply, very longly about things, and think. And that's just the way I'm made. Everybody's wired different. Those are three things that predominate. I'm very intense. I have a very pondering mind, and I am a person who also is a loner. Here I was, these characteristics that aren't bad characteristics. They can be, but they can be good. That's the way I'm wired. As a child, through the abuse I took and the things I grew up with and the bad bringing up, the devil used those things to mess up my mind. My emotions are not quick, but they're very intense. And I'm a stewer, I'm a boiler. It takes me a long time, but my emotions run very, very, very deeply. And I ponder things a lot. And I sat there and I'm a loner, so when things started going wrong, I would sit there and ponder and started thinking thoughts like, God must not love me for me to go through these things. And my mind began to ponder. And my emotions became very intense. And I became a very messed up kid. I was the worst kid in every school I went to. I was a problem. I was terrible. I had everything messed up in your mind you can have. I was deeply depressed. I was unbelievably insecure. I had good characteristics, but those good characteristics, it looked like I had a messed up mind, which I did, because good characteristics were used by the devil to destroy my mind. Let me also read this another way. A very emotional person is now called bipolar. That means both poles. If you don't know that. No, north or south. You're sitting going really happy and really depressed. It is wonderful to be an emotional person. When my kids get hurt, they don't come to daddy. They fall off the tall tree, run up to daddy. Daddy, I'm really hurt. No bones sticking out. You're okay. Guess who they don't come to? Mama, oh, you poor thing. It's wonderful to have a mom who can weep. It's wonderful that people who are emotional and laugh and listen and cry and do all these things, that's a wonderful characteristic. Until the devil comes and takes that person and takes their emotion and says, you're so emotional, I'm going to work on that. God hates you. God hates me. You know, and if I feel like this, it must be true because my emotions are always true and everything I base is on emotions. And if my emotions feel this, see, all of a sudden I took a good characteristic, an emotional person, and used their emotions to warp their mind. See, people have good minds, the devil just warps them and fights against them, and the demons attack them and take a good mind and make it bad. He takes your good characteristics and he makes them into bad characteristics. He warps us and does this. One person's a loner. Hey, it's wonderful to be a loner. I'm a loner. I love being a loner. If you want to make you happy, send me 20 miles into the mountain away from people. I'm in heaven. But make me a loner and make the devil start making me, you don't want to be around people. Make me into a guy and move me, and I move to the middle of Montana and sit here and listen to the Art Bell show and look for black helicopters. Then all of a sudden, being a loner isn't good. And the devil corrupted that. The devil takes good minds and ruins those. He warps those. They're good characteristics. There's nothing wrong with being an emotional person until the devil messes that up. The devil takes a person who doesn't show their emotions and he makes them so they're hard and cold. Not a bad characteristic to be a person who's very level. Until the husband won't say, I love you to his wife anymore because he's just not that type. He doesn't show his emotions. Told her I loved her 25 years ago and I married her. If I ever, if anything ever changes, I'll tell her. Honey, tell me you love me! That is a bad characteristic. See, the devil takes good characteristics and good minds and even ruins them and warps them. That's what I want you to understand. You may have messed up mental problems. You may have problems. That does not mean your mind is broken. That means you need to get your spirits and the sound mind will come back as you do the things God has for you. Now, that's a huge principle I want you to get. I was a messed up kid, but now I've got a great, very happy, a very joyful mind. Let me give you the key right here. This is the entire message, the whole thought. I want you to grasp this thought. The key, you must take control of your mind, not let your mind take control of you. That's the whole entire message right there. We're not done, but that's the whole message. You must take control of your mind, not let your mind take control of you. You cannot be a victim of your mind, because your mind will take you where you don't want to go and do what you don't want to be. You grab your mind and say, mind, we're going here. That's the key to spiritual life. Let me show you a verse. 2 Corinthians, a key verse on your mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now what I just said is going to contradict every psychologist And every psychiatrist is going to tell you, you're a victim. You have no choice. You are not a victim of your mind. Your mind is a victim of you. You can control your mind and what it does. You must take control of your mind, not let your mind take control of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look at this verse, it's huge. Casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing into captivity, that's like capturing a tiger and putting it in a cage. It says you are to bring into captivity every thought. It says casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. The Bible says in Titus 2:6, be of a sober mind. That's an important word. The word sober in the Bible means under control. Your mind has to be under control. Under control. George, can you crack a window back there for me? Crack a couple windows. Your mind needs to be under control. It needs to be sober. Let me read you another verse. 1 Peter. I'm going to talk and illustrate to you for a while once I establish what I'm trying to say here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. We're hurrying. 1 Peter 1:13 says, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Girding up your loins, that phrase in the Bible, if you were wearing a robe or something like that that hung down, you would pull it up so you could run or so you could fight. You'd roll it up or band it around if you had something that could get tangled around your legs. It's girding up your loins. It says, gird up the loins of your mind. Pulling your thoughts and get them under control. Be sober. Next phrase. Be sober. It says, be sober. And then it says, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, bringing every thought into captivity. If you want to have a good mind, what you must do is control your mind, not let your mind control you. Let me illustrate this. How many of you ever had a car that when you're driving on the road, because of alignment or whatever else, it always wanted to go one way? Raise your hand. How many of you have a car like that? You're driving on the road and it's always pulling to the right. You know, all you have to do is just hold your arm there and hang it there. You don't have to do this thing here because you're always going to the right. I mean, you still have one of those cars. You got one of those cars. What happens if you let the car drive itself? Let go. Where are you going to end up? In a ditch. And that's exactly what your mind is. It is that car that wants to pull the wrong way. And if you let your mind go and become a victim of your mind, you are going to have a messed up mind. Because the devil's going to go and corrupt your mind and make you think you're worthless, make you think God doesn't love you, make you think God doesn't exist, make you think you're this, that, and pretty soon, you're severely depressed. You're messed up mentally. You've got to steer that mind and say, casting out imaginations, bringing every thought into captivity. You control your mind. You decide what your mind thinks about. By the way, that's one reason you've got to be real careful what you watch on TV. Because when you watch TV, you lose control of your mind, and it's wherever they take you. Not saying it's always a sin. Not saying you can't do it. But I'd keep my hand in that remote if I were you watching it, because you want to be in control of your mind, not let somebody else control your mind. You've got to be of a sober, under control mind. You've got to bring your mind back into line. You've always got to be in control of it. Let me illustrate this just with me. I'll give you just how I did this myself, okay? Last Sunday night I was preaching, and I was excited about my message, but everyone was dead last week. I mean, they're exhausted. We had our tent out there on Sunday morning. We had that special service. Everyone had been done something Sunday afternoon, and everyone came back, and I was glad they were there, but everyone is this. And we say this and that, and I'm all excited. And I get this message, and I'm on fire to preach a message. And I'm getting up there, and all of a sudden I start preaching. And I start talking about things of God. I'll look back there, and one person's just sacked. I looked around, and everybody's just kind of looking at me like, I hope you got a 5-minute message or less. I'm in trouble. And everybody's just dead. I told a joke. Nobody laughed. That's when you know it. Nobody laughs at my jokes. It's got to be a problem. Everyone is, he's gone. I on purpose, and nobody knew it, but about 8 minutes of that message, I switched something on purpose. I disengaged myself from this entire crowd. You weren't there. And I have a way of doing this, and the way I'm wired, it's easy for me to do because I'm a very internal and a very loner person. I can cut all of you out in a minute. I can go all by myself, and I did that. And no longer was there a crowd in front of me. There was me and God, and I was His messenger. And Sunday night, I threw a fit. I preached away, I let loose, I was going, I was having the time of my life. I forgot all about you. You weren't there anymore. Why? Because I would have went, God loves you. Everyone. And? And I would have went, oh. God loves you, I guess. I joined the Lord. Amen, let's pray. Let's get out of here. I'm going to quit the ministry. But I took control of my mind. I disengaged myself. And I said, I'm God's messenger. I'm a man of God. I'm going to preach the word of God. I'm going to say what God says. I'm going to preach. I'm saying how good God is. And I'm talking about, oh, everyone is thirsty. They've come. And they're preaching about Isaiah 55. And they get excited. I threw a fit. And if nobody else got blessed, I was having the time of my life. Praise God. Thank God I had the offering at the start. They were going to sleep. They wouldn't even know what by. But praise God. But I wasn't going to. You know why? Because I wanted to take control of my mind. I wasn't going to let you decide. Or nobody's doing anything on purpose or anything. But I had to control my mind. There are a lot of little things that I do to control my mind that nobody knows about because I know where my little wires tick and I know what to do to control them. If you ever watch me, there's a lot of things I do before the service every week and nobody knows about them. I always wander over that tape player about 5 minutes before the before church starts. I always switch what song's coming up. You ever notice I'm always the one who walks over and turns off the radio? I am disengaging the crowd like that. I'm getting myself fired up with a song that fires me up. You have never seen me walk behind this pulpit discouraged, defeated, miserable, ever. Why? Because I don't come in here and let my mind decide whether I'm going to be fired up or encouraged or excited. I'm going to be. Because my mind is not going to control what I do. How many of you have been here when we had a crowd of 5 people or less in this room? Raise your hand. A few of you. People get discouraged. Let me ask you. Was I any different? I wasn't one else different. I threw a fit. I preached just like I always do. I said, thus saith the Lord. Why? Because I on purpose don't let my mind decide, oh no, bad crowd. I must be a failure. God must be mad at me. Maybe I didn't get a message from God. I give her and say, folks, I don't know where God is. Let's go serve Him. That ain't going to do nobody no good. So you've got to learn to take control of your mind. You've got to learn that your mind is going to just think about what you decide it thinks about. How do you do that? How do you do that? Let me give you a few ways. Number one, you got to be a disciple. You want to be a disciple of Christ, you know what that word means? Disciplined one. That's what the word means. You've got to go, and you know how it is. Person cuts you, you're driving on the road. Person cuts you off. Had this happen the other night. And all of a sudden, you know what you do? Your mind starts going, I had a ram then. It's always those kids, those guys with their little Hondas with the loud mufflers. I ran that kid. It didn't have insurance. Your mind starts going, doesn't it? You start getting bitter, and you start getting mad, and the rest of the ride home, you have a miserable ride home. And you walk in your door. Hi, Daddy, how are you doing? Get away, kid! Because you're miserable. Why? Your mind just took off. You know what you do? Cut you off. Lord, help that guy to get saved. And if he doesn't, let me see him burn. Lord, I pray that you'd work in that person's heart. Let me put in some Christian music and think about that. Let me put in the Bible on cassette. What's that? Then you start focusing. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being the form of God, but not rather equal with God. Wow, isn't that amazing? And all of a sudden, you on purpose change your thought process. You got to be disciplined. You've got to take control of your mind. You don't let your mind think that way. Number two. How do you control your mind? Learn to meditate. We get to quote a million verses on meditating, but in His law did He meditate day and night. You've got to learn the art of meditating. You've got to learn, folks, just so you know, if you don't know this, you can have silence. There doesn't always have to be radio or TV on. You can sit alone and meditate and think. It disciplines your mind. It makes you fixed. It makes you start learning to control your mind and think on good things. Take time to meditate. Go alone and think on something. Think in a Bible verse and meditate. Number three, memorize scripture. memorize Scripture. Let me illustrate this. When you have Scripture memorized, it changes what you can do in this spiritual warfare. For example, all the time, I guarantee you, several people in this room right now struggle with whether God loves you. And you base that on your emotions. I've been bad, I've been terrible, I've been miserable, God doesn't love me anymore, I'm just too bad, there's no way God can love me. If you have Scripture memorized, when God comes to a person who knows the mind of Christ and memorizes Scripture, here's what happens. The devil comes to you. God doesn't love you anymore, you've been too bad. And you say, oh, maybe God doesn't love me. Wait a minute. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. No, that's not true. God still loves me. The Scripture says so. Forget my emotions. If God didn't feel, I don't feel like God loves me. The Bible says He does. Say, all of a sudden you got your mind. You got that Scripture in your mind. And you got it memorized. And all of a sudden you can quote it back. And when the devil comes to your mind, what did Jesus do? Devil came to him, turned his bread into stones, jump off the cliff, do this. Scripture, Scripture, Scripture. Get the Scripture in your mind, memorize it. Don't just try to find it when you need it. You memorize it. It'll fix your thinking. The last thing, renew your mind. Renew your mind. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, may you approve what is a good and acceptable and will of, good and perfect and acceptable will of God by the renewing of your mind. Let me read it to you. Quote in Romans. Romans 12:2. After I talk about memorizing, I misquote a verse. Verse 2, Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That phrase used several times in Scripture is renewing your mind. You've got to take your mind and cleanse it from all you've learned from the world. Folks, let me tell you, if you watch TV all your life like I did, you grow up with all the world's philosophies, and you hear the jokes, and hear the stories, and hear the talk about at work, you've got to renew that mind with clean things like the Word of God. Fix your mind. Go to church every service. Read the Bible. Meditate on it. Listen to good music. And cleanse and renew your mind. And that'll help you do that. Let me talk to you for just a sec here. I'll be fine. Let me tell you about something that happened to me. Each one of us is wired differently. And each one's wonderful the way you're wired. I think people are fascinating in their minds. My mind is not a mind that is up and down. In general, I'm a very slow, pondering person. I can get way, way down. I can get way, way up. But I don't do it on a whim. I don't have somebody said one time, a woman's the only creature who can look at you and say, I love you, and 15 seconds later, look at you and say, I hate you, and mean it both times. That's opposite of me. I'm pretty stable. Thank God, but that's just the way I'm wired. And there's nothing wrong. Now, the downside of that is always, I can't show emotions easily. I may love somebody very deeply, but I don't show it when I say it. I don't always comfort my children when they're hurt very well. I'm not that. But it's just positive and negatives. I went through a time, I'm going to say a year ago. It's something I never went through before. Once I started serving God, let me say this, when I was 15 and 16, I started serving God, started getting to know the Bible. By the grace of God, I have a very happy, stable mind now. I am a very peaceful person. I mean, glory to God through His Word, I'm a happy person. I have a great life, and I have a lot of joy, and praise God for it. I don't get down. I'll be honest with you. You would have a hard time finding me ever get down. I don't get down. And we'll talk about how next week. Come back. Otherwise, you'd be miserable the rest of your life. I don't get down much. I had a time about a year ago where something changed in me. I got extremely emotional, like I'd never been in my life. I don't know what happened. It started happening for a few days, and I thought maybe I was dying or I was sick or something, but it didn't go away. And I became a mess. I can go and talk to the person who's messed and let them dump on me. I don't get discouraged. I can go talk to a person, they can tell me all their problems, the world's about to end. I don't get down. And I'm not saying that for me, it's just the way God made me and the way God's given me a joy and a peace and a security. And that's just the way I'm wired. All of a sudden, I could get down real easily. And also, you can walk up today, let me tell you this, you can walk up today, don't do it. You walk up today and say, you know what, I hate you. You're the biggest idiot. I hate your messages. You know I won't be depressed or down. I'll kick you or something, but I won't be depressed or down. I will not be. People don't affect me much. They really don't. all of a sudden, somebody said something about me and crushed me. All of a sudden, somebody started telling me the problems. I'm ready to jump off the cliff. They're telling me, yeah, I'm ready. I say, so am I. Let's go. Give me the rope. I started getting hurt. I started getting depressed. And I'd never had, to this day, I do not know why this happened. I never had it happen in my life. I became what I would call a mental wimp. I couldn't handle things anymore. If Sunday was discouraging, I was down in the dumps. It lasted 3 months. I had no idea what was happening to me. Suddenly, I was extremely sensitive. I couldn't handle things anymore. I'd look at the checkbook and I'd look at the bills and I'd just go, what am I going to do? I can't handle it. And that's not me at all. When that happened, I realized all of a sudden I was in a lot of danger. Because let me tell you, if you want to pastor an aggressive soul-winning church in America in 2003, you can't be light-skinned. There are too many battles, too many discouragements, too many things happening. You're in a war, let me tell you. It's not for the light of heart. Many quit. I sat there and I said, I am in real danger. And I had to go and take control of my mind. I couldn't change my sensitivity. It didn't change. You know what I did? I did a whole bunch of things on purpose to protect myself. I could go up and knock on a door and somebody slammed the door in my face. I don't like it. If somebody slammed the door in my face at that time, I'd walk out of the car bawling. Ready to quit. See what I did? I went door knocking where I knew people would be receptive. There's areas where you can go. People are receptive. There's areas you can go where they're not. And it's by their income, basically. I didn't go. There's people I go to all the time. I'll go to people this week who are messed up, who are having a disaster, and everything's falling apart every week. I mean, no matter what week I go to them, it's 52 weeks a year, everything's falling apart. I go to them, and then I tell them the problems, and I carry the burden, and I say, praise God, and I listen to them, and just as I unload them, you know, and it's private, and I won't ever just use their trust, but all of a sudden, I couldn't handle it anymore, so I didn't go to those people. I didn't let people dump on me. I avoided certain people. They discouraged me. Normally, I can handle them. You always got somebody who's got to tell you everything you do wrong. You can pray for them, love them, win them to Christ, baptize them, and disciple them, preach 100 great messages. You preach one Sunday and think you're talking about you. Who are you? You could have forgave them 100 times, visited them in jail, loved them, fed their family when they're in jail. It doesn't matter. I couldn't handle those people anymore. Nobody I can handle. Okay, sorry, I messed up. I'm not going to mention 600 times I've forgiven you. You messed up. That's okay. I couldn't handle it. I avoided it. I did a whole bunch of things. I started changing everything I did. I quit listening to the news. Today I can listen to the news and hear about Palestinians blowing up Israelis and Israelis blowing up Palestinians. I can handle it today. At that time, I couldn't. So I didn't listen to the news. So I couldn't handle it. The news is pretty heavy if you got a sensitive mind. The news is no longer Joe Fireman took Mitten's cat out of a tree anymore. That's not the news anymore. If you can't handle it, don't watch it. I did about 10 things. I started getting music around me that I needed. I started avoiding certain things. I started spending more time alone in the mountains. I started avoiding stressful situations. I did a whole bunch of things. Why? I took control of my mind. I wouldn't be standing here today if I would have let my mind take me and done what I would have normally done. I had to be careful. I had to be extremely careful what I did. My grandpa, my wife's grandpa, was in he's a Marine in World War II. He was in Guam and Iwo Jima. Not a good place to be. Jungle warfare, close warfare. He's a very big, burly, strong man, and very strong mentally, a good, solid man. He opened a farm. When he came back from the war, he had emotional scars. And he would wake up in the middle of the night in the closet screaming, thinking he was in the jungle. And he just got more shaky. He just got where he couldn't handle stress anymore. And his wife saw that, and she filtered everything that got to him. If there was a bad news or a bad bill, the kids had a problem in school, and she thought it would hurt him and not affect him, she would catch it and handle it herself. Because she knew he was his mind couldn't handle it. See, folks, this mind, you can't just say, well, I'm like this, I'm going to be like this, I'm going to be depressed, and I'm going to be like this, or I'm bipolar, or I'm this. No, you grab your mind, you say, mind, I don't like where you're going, you're going over here. I don't want to. Yes, I don't care if you want to, you're going here. And you're going to think like this, you're going to read these things, you're going to watch this on TV, you're not going to watch this, you're going to think about this. Whether you feel like this, it doesn't matter. By the way, we'll talk about feelings. Feelings are drastically overrated.